Canucks Central Monday. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah here in the Kintec studio. Kintec Footwear and Orthotics working together with you in step. This hour of Canucks Central is brought to you by your local Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. Fast lunch doesn't have to mean fast food. Satisfy your midday cravings by choosing a main side and drink for only $15, served in 20 minutes or less. We're kicking off the show with Canucks legend. Trevor Linden joins us in studio. What's happening, Trevor?
Use that legend term rather loosely.
Well, I think your number is in the rafters at Rogers Arena.
Okay, all right.
I mean, once your jersey hangs from the rafters.
I suppose. Yeah. So thank you for that.
Then you become the franchise legend.
If it was only the Ring of Honor, it'd be like,
So Louis. You're going to win two cups in a row
and Hall of Fame.
And a Hall of Famer, but yeah, you're not a legend. Okay.
How's summer treating you so far?
Oh, it's been great. My son wrapped up school last week, and same telling you guys, with the Dunbar Little League Championship game, baseball game on Saturday, Father's Day Sunday. Yeah,
nice. Good. Very good. You the third base coach, or is
yeah? I'm kind of. Well, I was actually on the bench coach.
Okay,
so to
keep
the kids from crawling up the You know, they're seven, so like to keep them. That's the most important job. Like,
so is it babysitting or coaching?
You know what? It was babysitting at the start of the year, Sat, and then by the end of the year, it was kind of like, damn. Oh, the game ended on a double play for our team.
Oh, that's amazing.
Bottom of fifth, we're up two runs, and we made a double play.
Nice.
Like that's tough.
Seven-year-olds turning a double play—that's impressive. Now
yeah,
I'm
exactly.
Okay.
Kid caught a pop fly, and the guy from first was just running his heart out. He like walked over and stepped on the base.
It's amazing.
Drama.
A lot to get into. You're doing some work here pros talk prostate, and we're going to get into that quite a bit here. We're seeing right now the Abbotsford Canucks sort of take the Lower Mainland by storm. They've made it to the Calder Cup Finals here, and it's kind of been impressive to see at least one element of the Canucks organization really starting to get people excited.
Yeah, it's been amazing. I think just for the market of Abbotsford and just for those kids, and I think a lot of the credit has to go to Ryan Johnson. You know, I mean, I worked with Ryan when we were in Utica and when I was with the team, and he's an awesome hockey man. You know, he builds a great culture. He understands culture. He's so good with the kids and, you know, just getting them to think the right way. And Ryan had always said, like, part of the development model is creating a winning environment and, you know, the balance between having a winning team but also developing young players is really, really tricky. And I think that obviously with the team here in Abbotsford, I think ownership is more willing to put dollars, you know, into that. Whereas in Utica, maybe they were less willing to spend the dollars there. But regardless, Ryan's done a good job, and it's been fun for the Lower Mainland to have this.
Well, and yeah, I guess the beginnings of Abbotsford started when you were there, like that you guys were trying to bring an AHL team closer to home.
Yeah. I mean, we had a lot of talk on it, and it was a tough one for us because, Utica is the heartland of the AHL, good little town, great rink, well supported. They were the talk of the town, and hockey was something in Utica and great history there. And, you know, our kids were 2-hour bus ride every game, so they'd be home, they could play a road game and be home by midnight and get a good night's rest and then be in the gym the next morning and training. So that was the advantage of Utica, and everyone's like, well, why would you be in Utica? Well, because if you want to talk development model, those are the most practice days and the most workout training days they will get in a season. You know, obviously being in Abbotsford has its advantages too, but you talk to the kids there. I was talking to Scotty Walker's son Cooper and just like they were over the other night and just like, yeah, I mean, every time they're bussing from Abbotsford to YVR, they gotta go through customs, they gotta fly, the day after the game they're coming back, clearing customs, bussing, so it's a lot more travel. Maybe they're losing. But it's a great thing. We had a lot of discussion about it when I was there, and it's worked out really well.
You guys had some success as well in Utica that first year with the long run to the Calder Cup final. Even then, Jacob Markstrom was the starting goalie at the time. So, you started to see some of those fruits bear as you got on in your Canucks presidency. But it's as you mentioned with Ryan Johnson, who's the GM of this Abbotsford Canucks team, it's got to start somewhere how you build the culture of a winning organization.
For sure. And I think just, you think about that team that you referenced in 2015 that went to the Calder Cup final. That was a Travis Green-led team. And obviously Jacob Markstrom was the goaltender. You know, so strong group there, and but the constant's been Ryan Johnson, and you know, and even, you know, seeing Manny there and what he's done, and so, and those guys, if you think about Manny, you think about Ryan, they know culture, they know how to build a winning environment, and I think the tricky thing is you know, with American Hockey League teams is creating a space where your young players can come in and understand what it takes to win, and you know, but not having it full of, you know, AHL veterans where, you know, that's not, those guys aren't going to help you down the road either. So there's a real fine line between being competitive, creating an environment, you know, there's got to be a level of play and expectation to get in the lineup. And if you're not, you know, you can't give, you can never give time away, give, you know, to young guys because that you want them to develop. They got to earn it. That's the bottom line. And they got to earn it in a winning environment. And I think striking that balance is tough, but Ryan is, you know, he's been at it for a while now and he's done a good job.
Well, it's because the conversation for a long time was the Canucks need an AHL team close to home and they need a practice facility. We know the AHL team is close to home.
Yeah.
Practice, I mean, from a practice facility standpoint, how much of a detriment do you think it is for the team not to have one? Is it a bit overrated? I know, you know, some players say it's not as important as people make it out to be, but at the same time, if you're the lone franchise that doesn't have it, and even when you guys were, when you're running the team, you guys were trying to get one back then too.
Yeah. You know, that's another one. I mean, there's pros and cons there. I mean, it's not as easy as, you know, and hey, the guys love, like, we don't have a basketball team, first of all.
Yeah.
You know, so that's why, you know, if you have a basketball team, you'd have no option. You have to have a practice rink. And that's why we had eight rinks. And quite honestly, guys didn't like going out to eight rinks. Yeah. It was a pain in the butt. Like, everyone lived, you know, everyone, especially this team, they all live downtown and are at Kits. So if they don't have a practice rink downtown, you know, like, and so being a one franchise arena, which they are, I mean, they're only getting displaced for concerts. And like, if I'm a, and you're, so you're always going downtown, that's pretty convenient. And they've got a great facility down there, you know? So, I mean, it's a tough one. I mean, if it's not in a great location, the guys will not want to travel out, you know, to the Valley to go to the practice rink. So
you don't think they want to drive to New West?
No, I don't think so. Sad. You know, going to Burnaby for us was always a pain in the ass. Yeah. And so, but it was interesting that Rick mentioned that is, you know, one of the real detractors. And I guess when you're always used to that model, you know, like he came from franchises that had that.
Yeah.
And quite honestly, for me, playing in Vancouver for my first 10 years, and even when we opened, you know, what was GM Place, that was our practice rink. So, you know, going to, and then when I went to New York, I mean, we had this terrible little practice rink. I hated it. You know what I mean? And then Montreal never had a practice rink because Bell Center was our rink. Right. And then in Washington, we did have a practice rink and it was terrible. So I didn't, you know, I was like, hey, it's pretty nice to have Rogers Arena as our main rink. This is kind of it's kind of nice. And actually, I know the guys love to practice at that rink because it's your home environment, right? So now they get displaced. Yeah, they go to UBC. I don't know, man. I don't know that it's that. And we always talked about in the summer to have the facility available for them in August. You know what I mean? That they could come in and skate. I think that's a big win too, you know? So we tried to do that. I don't know if that's still an option based on concert schedule.
It's one of those things like where now, you know, once Calgary gets their new setup, the Canucks will be the only team in the league without a practice facility. And I guess you can easily draw the line how, well, if you're trying to attract free agents and somebody's going to Vegas and they see their practice facility or Seattle and their practice facility and the Canucks don't have that same setup, it just feels like something that's sort of turned in the last five-ish years, especially in the National Hockey
League. I mean, it's interesting. You like think about the Calgary and Edmonton's. I mean, they built these new buildings and they basically put the practice facility within the building, right?
Yeah.
So basically, you know, I don't know, man. If I'm like, you know, like if you're either going to say, hey, our practice facility is our home rink. That's where our home is. Like, do we practice it? I don't know. I'd be interested to know how many days that they got displaced throughout the year.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, is it, I don't know, is it five? Is it 10? You know, but that's
not a huge number.
It's a beautiful
like a
facility
dozen or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe I mean, it's a beautiful, like going down there. I mean, it's close for everyone. I mean, it's 5 minutes away. I mean,
you get your own parking spot.
You get your own parking spot. Damn. You get breakfast, lunch and dinner down there. It's a top table. You know, it's a good, it is a good setup.
We know the NHL draft is just around the corner. Do you miss the draft meetings, talking to the scouts and going back and forth?
Yeah, I do. I had a conversation with Judd Brackett there. A couple weeks ago, just catching up on things. He's a friend and a guy I like to keep in contact with. But that was probably you know, the end of the season and then kind of working with the amateur guys and just like, look, that was always a really fun time. And yeah, the amateur side of stuff was really exciting. Getting prepared, the draft is the pinnacle of the summer, you know what I mean? And I think going to the draft is always exciting. I think they're really going to miss out this year.
Yeah.
You know, I think even I think Gary would say, hey, listen, this was my call. Like, a group of GMs wanted this.
They're already doing mea culpa. They're like, you know, this is only going to last 1 year.
Yeah. But I mean, like, hey, you guys wanted it. Here you go.
Yeah.
But I just think the theater of seeing managers on the floor talking. And I mean, it is the one time in the whole year that you get, and that's special. Mm-hmm. You get, you know, some of these iconic rinks and you've got the entire NHL on the floor. Yeah. It's pretty cool. So it will be different this year. I think I don't like it.
Yeah,
I love the theater. But yeah, super fun. And even right into, you know, some of those development camps we had too, you know, when Petey was, you know, first time Petey was here and Quinn was here. I mean, that's, you know, for us and, when I was there, that was kind of that was the hope.
Right.
You know what I mean? And this is going, you know, 8 years ago already, 7 years ago.
There's already speculation that the Canucks won't be holding on to their 15th overall pick, as could be an aggressive offseason. The conversation being gotta find a way to keep Quinn Hughes happy and show him a pathway to potentially contending for a Stanley Cup. Is that the right pathway for the Canucks to take in their current spot?
Yeah, I think absolutely. I mean, with Quinn's got 2 years left, and I mean, this is a time where, you know, I always say there's not a huge difference between where they finished and finishing and winning the the West. I mean, a healthy Demko, you know, a Petey that's on his game. You know, they've got. I mean, Elias Pettersson and Quinn and Thatcher. I mean, those are the three pieces, right?
Like, it's the spine of your team.
That's the heartbeat right there. And so they've got that. And, you know, if I'm, you know, I think Patrick's done a very good job in selling, but getting assets, like, you know, the Hronek trade, right? Everyone screamed about that. But you know what, though? He got an asset that could help him now. Yeah, it cost him a you know, but you know, with term, and he's able to sign that player. So
the right shot defenseman. It's so elusive to find.
And he did the same thing with the big, tall defenseman from Pittsburgh. You know, I mean, Marcus, this guy Pettersson. Is a Marcus Pettersson. Yeah, I mean, he's going to be a guy that, you know, with a full year, he's going to be a leader in that room. He's going to be like, you know, like we talked about earlier, this is the first year they're not talking about their defense right now.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got a solid defense. They've got a Vezina Trophy candidate type goaltender when healthy. So, I mean, you got to push in. I mean, and that 15th pick, you get a player with term that can help you now 100%. You've got, I mean, this is the window to do it. And don't worry about, I wouldn't worry about down the years.
Well, it's funny because obviously losing JT was big because he was such a big performer for this team, and they need Pettersson to bounce back and they need to find some offense. But having solved the defense, at least for the time being, is a big task. And I mean, you were living it because you guys didn't have a lot left over for you guys. I mean, we were so excited about Ben Hutton for a while, right? And God bless Ben Hutton.
100%.
Right?
Yeah. But you think about that. You think about who we got excited about.
Yeah, and that's what it was. But like, it's really difficult to be able to not only find those guys, but then get them to sign them as well.
Yeah, I mean, you think about that time. I mean, that it was a mess. Like, there was, like, you were excited about Ben Hutton. Good kid, loved him. But, you know, compared to where they are now with that defense and, you know, that goaltender. And I mean, you know, you've got a framework in place, and you know, there's lots of variables. You've got a rising, I think that where the cap is going is interesting. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's gonna really be interesting of how teams view that. But I think Vancouver's in a good spot. I mean, you got to go after it, you got to retool. And like I said, sometimes there's not a big difference between where they finished and being back where they want to be.
I know we've talked to you about Elias Pettersson in the past, but so much of the focus was this year on his poor offseason, and he didn't prepare himself well enough for this year. Looking back on your career, how long did it take you to really iron out what you needed to do in the offseason to get yourself really well and truly prepared and really like find that perfect spot where you were just ready to start for October, but also be able to carry that through the deep end of the season?
I mean, I don't, that was never my problem. My problem was not summer prep. I was, you know what I mean? And my problem was maybe the high-end skill that Elias Pettersson has, and that I could never get. But you know what I mean? So, you know, I think what's interesting is you see the top players, and even watching Connor McDavid this year, I mean, you watch his game in the playoffs, and he gets it. He knows now what it takes to be a champion and to be a difference maker in the playoffs. And that's the piece that Elias doesn't understand yet. And, you know, and that's not uncommon. People said that about Steve Yzerman. You know, like, he couldn't win. You'll never win with Steve Yzerman. Well, they were wrong. And you know, but there comes a point in a player's career where it finally, and, you know, Daniel Henrik, they came and they were out, you know, not particularly, they were young, they're boys. I mean, but then they got it. They're like, okay, I understand. I've seen it the way Mattias Olin trains. I see it the way Marcus Naslund trains. Okay, I get it now. And, you know, for Elias, like, you know, is he going to learn? Like, you know what I mean? It was good to see him this year when I was just kind of disappointed in him, but also kind of concerned for him when he went to the media there. And I was like, hey, don't go there. And then he walked it back after, which is the right thing to do. So is he going to kind of be able to look himself in the mirror and say, hey, I got to be better?
Is that sometimes the most powerful thing, being knocked down at that level in terms of getting you back up again, especially somebody, I'm not going to say he was arrogant, but, like, you know, I'm sure when you're a player of that caliber and that level, you think you got to figure it out. And sometimes, you know, that humbling can go a long way.
Absolutely. I mean, young kids, I mean, you got to remember these guys, they're in their early 20s, you know, and even to have the type of success he had in his early 20s, mm-hmm. I mean,
there's a reason he got the contract, right?
100%.
We weren't batting an eye when he signed it.
Absolutely. But it's good. Sometimes failure is the best thing for you, and it's how you react to that and move forward on that. And this is his challenge. I mean, mm-hmm. he needs to go to work this summer and put himself in a spot where he's ready to compete at a high level from game one. And I mean, he's a magician out there when he's on. It's so, like, his ability to protect the puck and his strength and his vision. I mean, it's pretty amazing.
So you're here with us today as part of Pros Talk Prostate, and it really is an important initiative that you're talking about with some of your other NHL alumni across the country.
Yeah, I'm with, you know, Lanny McDonald out there in Alberta, and Wendell Clark and Guy Carboneau. You know, it was just Father's Day yesterday, guys, and obviously for those dads out there, we all want to be around for our kids, and, you know, prostate cancer is the leading killer of men in Canada, And I think that, you know, the Pros Talk Prostate is just about, once again, talking about guys, just having those conversations, you know, and sparking a conversation about biomarkers. And, you know, obviously PSA is the biomarker for prostate cancer, mm-hmm. and the PSMA is the biomarker for advanced prostate cancer, which, you know, for advanced prostate cancer, there is help out there. Talk to your doctor, talk to your friends, talk to your family, you know, quality of life, living longer. I mean, these are all attainable things with people with advanced prostate cancer. But, you know, I'm passionate about, you know, men's health and, you know, and just, you know, dudes want to talk about the U.S. Open and about the Canucks, you know, about the Abbotsford Canucks and what Petey's going to do next year. But they don't want to talk about their damn prostate. So that's why I'm here. And, you know, just get help. You know, go to the website, which is
ProStationCanada.ca.
ProStationCanada.ca. There's a playbook there. Just learn, because, you know what? You don't need to die from prostate cancer. So, just be aware.
Well, and education is important, right? I mean, because it's the third leading cause of cancer related deaths for men. And it's one of those things that it's just get checked out.
Exactly. And you know, prostate cancer is common, you know, and the biomarker mm-hmm. for that is the regular PSA test. Your PSA goes up, you've probably got prostate cancer, which that in itself is not great, but lots of men are living with that. PSMA is the biomarker for advanced prostate cancer. And even at that, there are therapies, treatments to, you know, improve quality of life, extend life, and that sort of thing. So, guys, just you know, take a break from you know, game six in the Stanley Cup Finals and go get the playbook.
Well, you kind of mentioned just quickly on that. I mean, I know people are afraid because they're also afraid of the result. Like, what if it is positive? What if I have to deal with this? Yeah. But then we had this at the Men's Health Foundation Gala. The stories, I mean, like, there is help. Like, you are able to beat this. Yes. Like, so don't be intimidated by the result, as scary as it is, because you can overcome it.
And you gotta know, like, you gotta know. You owe it to the people around you, and it's not a comfortable thing. But, like, just talk to your doctor. That's the biggest thing. If you're seeing signs of you know, variations of you know, your patterns of urination, like just get checked out. You know, I mean, I dealt with this with Ronnie DeLorme, you know, the scout with Vancouver, such an awesome guy, and he was suffering from some of that and got help and doing awesome, right? You know, so we have great medical professionals in our right at our disposal. So access it. And even if you don't, just get the information from the playbook and just learn about it, so you know. Any sort of signs that you're feeling may lead you to it. And, you know, a simple PSA, PSMA test can help you out.
ProStationCanada.ca. Download the ProStation playbook, and you'll have a better idea of what to talk about with your doctor as well. Trevor, we always appreciate the time.
Thanks, guys. Good to be with you. Thank you.
That is Trevor Linden, Canucks legend, joining us here on Canucks Central. We'll be back with Frank Saravalli next on Sportsnet 650.
Talking all Canucks all the time. It's Canucks Talk with Jamie Dodd and Thomas Drantz. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.